Welcome to Dubai Dog's Diary. Dubai is full of new faces, new clinics and big promises, to be honest. But once in a while, you meet someone who's not building up the hype. They have been here in the market for long enough that work speaks for them, for itself and for their reputation. That has been tested and the results are consistent. Today's guest is Dr. Danny, a leading plastic surgeon who has actually been serving patients here for years. Matter of fact, more than two centuries, building a serious name in the community and went on to become a clinic owner with multiple award-winning clinic and a multi-award-winning team. And this conversation is not a highlighting reel. It's a real look at what it takes to last Dubai healthcare market, to stay successful and not only become quickly successful. Dr. Danny, what do you think about your reputation? What are people saying when you out of the room? Happy welcome.
Thank you. I would like to thank you for the invitation to be here and for this opportunity. And I'm really happy with the, I'm pleased with the introduction. It's really a very nice introduction. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Dr. Danny, you just told me in the beginning you're here since 2000, basically. Yeah?
Since August 2000.
So, wow. That has to be a little bit put it on the spotlight. That is something profound that people can learn a lot from you. And I would like to know a little bit before then, when you came you studied medicine. What was your motivation to study medicine and become then a plastic surgeon?
Usually, I've been into medical kind of interest since my youth, my childhood. I was interested in, and even I was at the age of 10, I remember I was reading like medical articles or something like that. And I had at the same time this kind of artistic hobby. I like to paint. And the only thing that combined medicine and art was plastic surgery.
Wow.
That's why I went into medicine, surgery, and then plastic surgery. And then this is how it I came to be here.
Very good. So the decision of you going to university, which university did you take?
At American University of Beirut.
Ah, okay. And then you was facing struggles to explain everybody in your family that this will be your path, or was it mostly welcome?
No, it was really, my family was all supportive. Although they know it's a long path, and you know, we are kind of like coming from a self-made family, we are not like kind of so it was really a sacrifice from the side of my parents, you know, to be able to support me during my medical studies, you know, and to be able to be a plastic surgeon, you have to go into 7 years of medicine, and then 7 years of plastic surgery.
Oh,
so it's a total of 14 years.
Yes.
So, and all this, you need to be supported. You're not generating any money for the family.
Yeah.
So, my parents, thank God, they were really supportive.
Yeah.
And they told me, whatever you decide, we're going to back you up.
Very good.
And this is how it started.
Very good. So, what was the decision that brought you actually here to Dubai? When was this taken? Have you had an initial happening? What was the background, the political background in your home country, or what was the background for you to come here to Dubai?
Usually it's kind of a strategic decision, you know, and this really, I have to give credit to my mentors. You know, in Lebanon, plastic surgery is very kind of famous and very kind of common, and then we have lots of plastic surgery. And, you know, Lebanon is really a small country. And my mentors, Dr. Kadura, he told me, Danny, my advice to you is to go out and exploit a place or establish yourself in a place outside Lebanon. You are here already overwhelmed with plastic surgeons. And hence this decision kind of came to my mind that, okay, we have to step out of Lebanon. You have to choose a country where you can kind of flourish as a plastic surgeon. And definitely the UAE was the top on the list, because this is the right place to be for plastic surgery.
Yes.
So,
and 25, 26 years ago, wow, that yeah. must have been a step into a market that was nearly untouched. How was it?
Kind of. There were some plastic surgery at that time, but definitely, yes, it was not like now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were like few.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would say it was even more pleasant to, you know, to be kind of in a sense that you are not so numbered.
Yeah.
But it was a golden opportunity for you to build a reputation.
Yes, yes.
So now people will know you.
Exactly.
Now, if somebody is coming right now, I think you're going to struggle among the already
yeah.
whoever are really on the market and really on the in the field, because yeah. we are really now becoming numerous.
Yeah.
However, at that time, as you said, we are really few, and then people will know you more, and then you'll have time and space to establish yourself and to flourish.
Yes. When you then came first, you was not having your own clinic yet, like you do now. You started to work in a hospital. How was it? How did you find a job? Was they finding you? How were you negotiable with the salaries and all of these things? That must have been such a journey for you that has been, as a young Dr. Danny, for you something very exciting.
Yeah, this was really the exciting part of my journey, that I passed through all the phases mm-hmm. that anybody can ever pass through before establishing his own career mm-hmm. or his own business.
Mm-hmm.
So you start as an employee. I will tell you the details later. So you start as an employee first, then as an employee with commission,
mm-hmm.
then as a partner, then as a solo practitioner with your own business. Mm-hmm. So all those phases I've been through. So that's why I understand exactly how each doctor who's going to practice in the field would feel as far as his income is related, yes. his or her income mm-hmm. is related. So at the beginning, I came as an employee to Tawam.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on a salary basis.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Tawam, they opened for me a great opportunity to get to know the country, the culture. And thank God it was kind of a successful experience, and I established lots of connections there. And then after 3-4 years, I have to make one step forward. So I moved to Dubai,
mm-hmm.
and it was my first step into private practice in mm-hmm. the UAE. It was at Manchester Clinic
mm-hmm.
with the late Dr. Nabil Mitri. Mm-hmm. He again opened the door for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was the step number two, which is like you work on a salary plus a commission on whatever mm-hmm. you make. Again, so more connections, more patients coming. Thank God everything was going in the right direction. Patients are happy, better reputation, which allow you again after another three, four years to move into the second or the third step, which is to go into partnership
mm-hmm.
with somebody. So I had a partnership. And it opened at Dubai Healthcare City.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like it was called Majestic Aesthetic Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So my partner was a businessman. So it was me, I was the plastic surgeon. And this is how kind of combination mm-hmm. set in. Again, same history, more success, thank God, and more connections, more people know you more, better reputation. And after another 3-4 years, you make the ultimate step is that to go out and open on your own. Mm. And this is why in 2012,
mm-hmm.
I opened the Dr. Kelly Aesthetic Clinic. And yeah. here we are now.
Wow. And I have been visiting you several times. And I'm so happy to always step over your porch. It's such a good climate. It's such a good energy. Your whole team is always so friendly. And I'm interested in finding out when you then had went from step to the next level. How did you realize that you have to go farther, a step beyond? What was the signs that you saw to make you a decision? Okay, now I'm going out of the employment. I'm going to this construction. I'm going to this partnership and eventually doing my own clinic.
Yeah, usually you reach. In each step, you reach a phase or a stage where it's really becoming saturated.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Tawam, we reached a phase where my waiting list was around 1 year, mm-hmm. 1 year something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the patient list was piling up, and it means that something has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
okay, this is the right moment for you to move into private practice. Yes,
very smart. Yeah.
So that's what how it was done. Then from in Manchester, when I was on a commission basis, again, we reach a stage when I was negotiating with Dr. Nabil, God bless his soul. We reached a stage where the income generated was really outpasses the commission.
Yes.
And consequently, it's the time for me to move on my own, but not really on my own at that time because I couldn't afford to be completely on my own. That's hence the need for of an investment from a business gentleman. And that's how it happened. So Dr. Nabil consented. He says, you're right to go. Definitely. We kept good connection. Although I went to the SEC, at that time, I still had some part-time with Manchester just to be able, out of ethical purposes, to keep on taking care of the patients who are still coming there for the first 1 year or two, not to kind of abandon them. I didn't like to move the patient of Manchester to my new clinic. Just
very loyal
out of ethical principles. And then it came to, we came to the partnership thing. And again, after a few more years, and I thought, after all this reputation, Dr. Kelly Aesthetic Clinic has to be born. So that's exactly why we moved from Majestic Aesthetic Clinic to Dr. Kelly Aesthetic Clinic.
Very good, very good. I'm so proud to have you here, and
thank you,
I'm so grateful. And tell me, what are the biggest challenges nowadays in the UAE, where doctors clinic owners face actually so much competition out there? What are the biggest assets that you have, and what are the biggest challenges that you face in your career today?
Yeah, the most important challenge is that people think that cosmetic is easy. Okay, it's cosmetic, it's not something hard. In fact, it's really hard. And that's why whenever, as I told you, whenever we specialize in plastic surgery, you go into 7 years of medicine plus 7 years of plastic surgery. You cannot go do a course of 2 or 3 weeks and then come and inject people. It's not fair. You cannot, and whenever you visit a clinic, you have the right as a patient to get the best care ever. And of course, the best care cannot come out of 2-3 weeks course. Yeah.
And you face this, that doctors...
And this is the problem, what we face here, that unfortunately, our competitors use the social media to promote for them, and they are very good at it, while at the same time, they are recruiting doctors who are kind of not specialized in plastic surgery. They are kind of... there are doctors like GPs, and then who decide to go 2-3 weeks course in cosmetic, and they start offering cosmetic services. This is our main problem. This is to convince people that... Because you go on the social media, you will see, for example, Dr. Kelly Botox is so-and-so, and then the other Botox at half price. As a patient, you might not... You should question why it's just at half price.
Yeah.
You know, there is something behind it, right? How the amount of marketing they do kind of is overwhelming, so the patient can, a few patients, not all of them, can go along and then can go. And this is what we try to educate patients about, and tell them, no, okay, you deserve to be in the right hand. You deserve to invest more in your health, you know, pay a bit more, and get the best care possible.
And that is actually the biggest asset that you have here, also to be so good known in the market for your loyalty to the client.
You are giving 26 patients. Years of experience to patients.
And also to the dignity into your profession and towards your patients. So that's something...
Yeah, for us, the patient is like a... On top of being a human being, he's treated like a family member. He's not like an account or somebody where we have to see for us a dollar sign. It's not like that.
Yeah,
he's a family member. We do a procedure. We check on him after. We follow him after. We make sure that he is happy or she is happy. So yeah, we follow to the very end. You want to do to him, to whatever you do to your sister or to your mother or to your wife.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
That's very good. So when you see all of these doctors are coming in nowadays and they find Dubai is something that they wanted to move forward with their career, what you would advise them to do or not to do? If you maybe advise some young colleagues that that are on like 20 years, like 25 years, like you went on to, what would you have them as advice for nowadays Dubai success?
Honesty.
Mm, honesty.
This is a golden path. Mm. Honesty to themselves, to themselves and to the patient. Mm-hmm. By meaning to them, to themselves, I mean that they should be sure of what they can deliver.
Mm.
Don't do something that you are not sure that you can do mm-hmm. very well. So be honest to yourself first. Okay, I can do this procedure or I cannot do this procedure. I am the best to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not the best to do, let's say a breast augmentation or even a filler or a Botox, don't venture into that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how you be honest to yourself. You know exactly what your you can bodies. Give and what you mm-hmm. cannot give.
Mm-hmm.
And second, to be honest to your patient.
Mm-hmm.
If I cannot give you a certain service, I will tell you, Angela, sorry, this is not me. But I know XYZ who can do it better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we do that.
Yeah,
and this is what builds reputation.
Mm.
You will not lose a patient. Some people can think you will lose a patient because you are honest.
That, yeah. Mm.
You will not lose a patient. The patient will appreciate that and will come back for you for something that she knows that you do it best.
Yes, yes, yeah. That's so true because especially here in this market, I find people who come in new, people who trying to get their career moving on, they are staying so often in the paradigm of fake it until you make it. And somehow they do not never move into making it. And then all of a sudden you see them disappearing again mm-hmm. because... Yeah, it's winding up too tight. And then that's why honesty is something very valuable in that.
And those two levels. You should be, face yourself of what is your capacity and what's not your capacity.
Exactly. When it comes to treatments, especially also here, you mentioned to be honest to your client. That's something ethical. If you don't think it's something healthy, to do, especially in this market,
it's not going to make her look better.
Exactly.
Yeah, sometimes a patient can come for lip augmentation. I will tell her it's not look good on you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if she's not lose her money or not. Mm-hmm. It's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that tomorrow, when she sat in front of the mirror, she will know that yes, he told me the truth. Mm-hmm. If you accept patients, sometimes they want something, but they cannot because they don't deal with that every day.
Mm-hmm.
We do it every day.
Yes.
We know if I do this injection, how it's going to look on you, right?
Yeah.
So if you ask me for something and I don't think it will look nice ultimately after a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
I'll have to deny the service. I'll have to tell you, sorry, let's talk about something else, have a coffee, chat, whatever. But don't do that. It's not going to look nice on you.
Mm.
I'm not after your money, I'm after your connection. I want to establish an honest connection between you and me.
And that is a lot of times the mistake a lot of people do, that they are just after the hunt of the quick dirham, I am always saying, after the quick money, and they do it anyway. But then they don't understand that out there people are walking around and obviously don't enhance with a certain service their appearance. But then they say, oh, I have been at XYZ and you don't want to have this as a walking business card of your of your business, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is something so important to be honest. But when it comes to a young student doing their first step or a young doctor who's doing their first step abroad, I find that Dubai is not the place where you could practice your skills much because the work that you have here has to be on point and you have to be already routined in what you do. It's the market in where you can put much more into quality in building up your reputation. But if you come with the thought of, I have to get a numbers of surgeries, I have to get a numbers of this and that, What is your opinion about that?
That's why it's much better for them to come under the wings of a senior plastic surgeon. Mm-hmm. You start establishing your practice under the premise where you have senior plastic surgeon, where you can consult with them.
Mm-hmm.
When if you are operating, they can come and help you. They can teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And now even in UAE, we are starting soon a program of residency program for plastic surgery.
I heard about this on the exhibition. I was there in a conference.
Definitely the UAE are really keen on keeping on with the progress and keen on teaching new doctors new skills, and that's why with our Plastic Surgery Society we established this residency program, and it will definitely help new doctors to get more skills and more experience. And also on top of that, even if you have finished, you are just a newly graduate, okay, you go again. If you want to go into directly a private practice, you don't go open on your own clinic. Mm-hmm. It's not advisable. You go and you start working, as I said before, with somebody who's more senior for a few years until you really know how things go, until people know you more, until you are sure of yourself, until you know exactly what you can offer, what you cannot offer. Go back to the same point of honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start. We can dwell or go into your own road.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you some about your clinic and the environment that you work. But before, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on that development where UAE is in the global market at this point. Just merge with me my reflection, where the UAE always, or the Middle East, has been years and centuries looking into the West, maybe America or even Europe, for getting talented people or even trainings or studies and universities. Now I think it's about that they switch around, because all of these European doctors, I think, I see so many, they are coming to the country, very valuable people who are already successful, but they are not in alignment anymore with the political situation in their home country. And that's why I think it's somehow shifting. What idea do you have? I think somehow a lot of American or even European experts are looking to the Middle East for getting advice and best talent and so on. How do you think this shift is happening?
Usually UAE by itself is kind of attractive because it's economically stable, and because it's kind of an expanding country, a brilliant, excellent infrastructure, and an utmost caring leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this makes everything in UAE attractive for people to come and work here. So it has nothing to do with the nationality, I believe. It's about very individualistic, like myself, whoever you look at around and you see where is the best place to be. And so that's why people from abroad want to be here. But also we have many good local doctors as well. So it's not a matter of nationality. So everybody wants to work here because the country is offering a good infrastructure and a safe environment.
Yeah.
And again, this is due thanks to the great leadership. So people are all around here because of that. And that's why you can find good, even if a foreigner doctor, and bad, you can feel, because it doesn't mean that everybody who's coming from abroad is the best ever.
Definitely not.
He sees an opportunity, he wants to try his chances.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's basically it. It's not about kind of leaving his own country, coming here because of political issues. I don't think it's about business thing. He just calculate. He does the math. Where can I be in a place where people, especially in plastic surgery, people can afford to have the surgery, and where the environment is safe and can go around and
I know definitely for the Germans that I am dealing with, they have political backgrounds. They would sometimes even say, I don't mind to pay taxes at that height if the environment would be safe, security is something really great that we have here. And that's the motivation often for them to come. Tell me a little bit when we look to Saudi on that regard. It is sometimes, I've been now, since I'm here, 22, I'm living constantly here. I've been several times to Saudi, and for me, it seems it must have been like that in Dubai like 20 years ago, being in Saudi. How do you think on a medical aspect, Saudi is a market that you would advise maybe or not advise?
I cannot help much in this because I've never been in Saudi Arabia.
Ah, okay.
So that's why I said.
But from your colleagues, do you have any kind of seeings?
Because being in UAE, it makes it difficult to look elsewhere, to be honest. We're really happy here.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think any, I don't know, I'm just trying to think now. I don't know of any of my colleagues who practice here and in Saudi, except for a couple of Saudi doctors who already are coming from Saudi to practice here. They have their own practice in Saudi, and then they practice here. Mm-hmm. Take Sulaiman Habib, for example.
They are
in Saudi Arabia. They open here.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to be here. But me, I cannot answer about other Gulf countries because I've never been there.
Okay, good. Now shifting to your clinic, you have several departments. Tell us, what is the concept of your clinic?
The issue is that the whole concept is, at that time, was to open a clinic or a center where everybody, all the services a lady would need is found.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we had the plastic surgery, we had the dermatology, a beauty therapist, obstetric gynecology, cosmetic gynecology, and then we added the oculoplastic, the dental. So physiotherapy, so all what a lady can need is found there.
Very good.
So even also the dietitian, the nutrition. So whatever you need, is you can find.
This
is the whole concept.
I was so impressed that you even have your own operation hall, isn't it? So
it's a small procedure room.
Yes.
It's not like operating, because you only do a few things, small things under local anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
The procedure room, exactly, because sometimes there are things that you don't need the hospital for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but you have to be careful. We do only something very small, something that doesn't warrant any hospitalization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when there is something bigger, you then send or go with the people, with your clients?
We take them, we are connected to Emirates Hospital. We operate there, and to sometimes to Clemenceau Medical Center as well.
Okay.
And to Kotaina Hospital. We have like multiple hospitals to which we are connected.
Dr. Denny, one question of being a successful entrepreneur here in Dubai, not only a surgeon, but I see you also as a very successful entrepreneur. You mentioned earlier that some of these doctors, they know how to do marketing. But I know it's very important how to do marketing on an honest base. And I see how you're doing this. And I think it's an important thing for somebody who comes here, who wants to establish their career here. On what stage and on what importance you rate marketing to happen? And what is your golden rule to be successful in that?
Now, for a newcomer, it's really important. I cannot overemphasize it. For a newcomer, you will have to know you. It's not like Danny Cayley. It's not who has been here for 26 years and then he's depending on the word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why you have a spectrum where, you have like a curve where the newcomer is kind of on top of the curve of needing marketing agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you can also take some help, yeah.
Lots of help.
Yeah.
For the newcomers, it's a must. It's a must. Until maybe a few years more when people know him. But for the first 2 to 3 years, I think for a newcomer, a marketing agency is really a must.
Yeah.
For us, the senior ones, okay, this was my daily discussion with my daughter. She's just graduated from Paris. She's a master in management of luxurious brands.
Mm-hmm.
So we always discuss this. I tell her that this, for me, it's, maybe it's, I have a kind of question mark about how marketing helped, because, you know, people know me. Angela comes because she was referred by, let's say, one of her friends, and her friend is coming from another friend. So yeah, for those senior who have been like for more than 20 years in the country, okay, marketing can just kind of a cream on the cake. But for the newcomers, definitely is a must.
Yeah, that is
the strategy. Doctor cannot know it. And even those whom I told you about, that they know about marketing, it's not the doctor himself. There is a business owner. Usually most of those centers who really kind of recruit doctors who take like those small courses in cosmetic. They have a strong, to compensate for that, they have strong, a really strong marketing team.
I witnessed this too, that is more and more in when there are recruitment talks or interviews, that there's always a question, who's making your marketing for the doctor? And they, when they come from Germany, for example, they're just like, I don't know, maybe Miss Thomas. And they, so they don't even get used to it. But that's why I'm lining this out. It's so important. And then to get this advice from you into the game is actually to be on the honest side, still doing the marketing, but on the honest side, because that is also a big ability to fire back if you promise something.
It will fire back on both the doctor and the marketing agency.
Yeah.
So definitely, I know you very well. You will not, you will not venture, promote, or market for anybody whom you don't believe in.
Exactly, yeah.
So, and this is the caliber of marketing agencies that we need. Even for a new doctor, you will, of course, you will study his case, you will or a new center, and tell him, okay, you can market for this because you can do it good. You can market for this because you, but don't market for that, because if somebody comes for this thing, you will fail.
Yeah.
I cannot tell people that you are doing this good while you are not.
Yeah. So tell us, Dr. Denny, you are a surgeon, you are an entrepreneur and an employer. So how big is your team at this moment?
Oh, I never counted. You know, we are a big team. We're around more than 10 doctors, around or 11 doctors, and we have like more than 10, 12 employees. And I would not say employees, really. You are, they have been with me for so many years, and luckily nobody leaves for like that. It has to be a really, really tough reason for them to leave our center. Thank God. Yeah, we live all as a family, and we just think about each other. They all, really, I cannot do it without my employees. I cannot. I'm relaxed, because I know that these things or that thing will be taken care of by them without even me thinking about it. I don't even, okay, there is something going on. Okay, this will be taken by so and so person. Now, another thing, I know that another one will take care of that without me even have to think about it. And the atmosphere is a family atmosphere. We love each other. We celebrate birthdays together, occasions together. We have kind of we built a small meeting room at the backyard of the clinic to have our activity, and soon we'll use it as a classroom for transform the clinic into a training center as well. So that was going to be the next project. That's very good.
That reminds me so on my own clinic in Germany, when I had transported all of the education into my field, and that's something very fulfilling. And I envy your pattern in that one. It's so nice, to give your wisdom, your learnings onto some other people, and maybe even new employees. That's the main part, maybe as well, to get your employees trained on your own processes. So it's something beautiful. Tell me a little bit, what made you become the third time award winner of Beautiful Freshener, and you are now there in a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What is this role doing with you?
The reward is really important, because it gives you this feeling that all what you are striving for, like to make sure that your patients are happy, that you are providing them with all what they need, like kind of a complete service. All this is paying off.
Mm.
Really, this is
it's
the
like the proof.
Yeah, it's
the stamp on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is the importance of the reward. And it's really, it makes you feel that you are appreciated. That your efforts really can come to the end it should come to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important.
Very
so,
good.
So, really
so you entered, just to highlight for the audience, 3 times the award and won it, has been the best aesthetic clinic in Dubai, right?
Yeah, in the Gulf. Yeah.
In the Gulf. And then you're now in the Hall of Fame and also eligible to be a part of the jury, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's very pleasing.
It's very rewarding. It
so we can see another step. Yeah, you're not anymore taking a part of the award, but you're judging the award.
Yeah, yeah. That's 3 times I've won that enough.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, thank you for letting me ask you, interview, showcase everything what needs to be highlighted. And let me ask you also where we can find you. So our audience finds you. We will anyway contact everything under the show notes, but where we can find Dr. Danny, in what clinic? And where?
It is Dr. Kelly Aesthetic Clinic in Om Suqeim 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Al Manara area. It's Villa 1184. It's if you just Google Dr. Kelly Clinic, it will directly come up. So you can find me here maybe like five days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I work nearly every day except on Friday and Sunday. And that's... can find me and the whole team, not only me. So.
Yes, yeah. And you play golf, isn't it?
Of course.
We never met on the golf court, but at this moment, I'm not taking too much time for golf playing, so much focus.
Why? Sure. Yeah. It's relaxing.
Yeah.
With all the stress of the work, you need something else, you know, to make you cool down.
Yes, yeah. Indeed it is. But also, I'm so dignified in, if I'm doing something, I wanted to, you know, really achieve and end it. So for me, I have several hobbies, several skills that I wanted to develop. One of it, I even took some golf classes, but I know I wanted to finish it, and that is time taking. So even I had a piano in Germany and played there, but I wanted to take classes. Had I brought my piano here, or would I have one here, I would sit all day on the piano. My work would not be done. So same thing with painting, and now golf. I'm out of focus on my work. There's another time area where I'm gonna make more room for those things.
Hopefully soon.
Yes, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Thank you, Dr. Danny.
Thank you, Angela.
Being here.
It was a pleasure. Really, I enjoyed it.